to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, Farrell on the bench. Loser day today at the Farrell household. The Farrell Palais show, we had Chop's team got beat. I think they lost by, what does it matter? They lost. And all I know is, Mafia knows the deal. Like, Chop's a great player. And I'm not even kidding you. She's a great player. I'm not even, there's no kid around the area where I live in the entire county that can stop her, that can, frankly, play better than her and or shoot better than her anywhere. And Mafia knows that's true. I mean, it's just documented. And he's seen it with his own eyes. And so she gets doubled and triple teamed when she plays in these games. She gets mauled is another word for it. And I'm trying to, like, you know, I don't get involved in being that D-head father who, shows up at the game screaming and yelling at the refs and trying to coach my kid from the stands. I'm not that guy. Mafia's gone to games with me and sat in the corner, and we kept our mouth shut the entire game multiple times. He's seen her play when she was even younger, and she had it then too. And we just leave her alone and let her do her thing. But when she comes home, she's like talking about, you know, getting doubled and tripled all night, getting mauled, got her punched in the eye, got punched in the nose. And then she's got, like, right now, she's going through this, I think, growth spurt where she's got bad knees. And hopefully it's nothing more than that, but she's having an MRI tomorrow, which is scary for her because she's never had one. And you know, she's had such bad knees this year and shin splints that it's just ruined her. And she's still going out and playing in these games every game. Like, so she barely practices. She barely runs. She barely walks. She just stands on the court and shoots. And she's the best shooter you ever seen in your life for a girl. And I mean that for a girl. She is a dynamic player, but when she has no knee, no shin pain, she's unstoppable. But right now she's got these problems and she's going tomorrow for an MRI. So she's tripping. And, she had 20 tonight, getting doubled and tripled all over her face and came home with a shiner and like a broken nose. And she said that this team played dirty against them and that every time she touched the ball, she got mauled. And I'm like, that's what happens when you're the best player. That's every night. Every night they know you're coming. The coach knows, the players know, in the huddle, there is only one objective here. Stop her. Stop her. She's the one we stop, we win. So they do whatever it takes to kill her, let alone let her score. But she still had six threes in their face in doubles and triples. She dropped six threes and had 20 points. And they lost, but she scored again for like the third time in a row, half of their points. The rest of the team can't even find a bucket if it was sitting right in front of their face. And that's just all there is to it. And I don't care what anybody thinks. And you don't like me talking about it, then don't listen. Bottom line is, that's what happens. She's the team. Everybody knows it. They all prepare to stop her, and they can't. But they attack her, hit her, punch her, tackle her, knock her, you name it. And she had still had 20. And then the Sun, he lost tonight by 10 to their arch rivals, and he had a crappy game, and he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I said, go to the gym and knock down shots tomorrow. If you can't hit a shot in a game against your rival, and you're too cool to admit that you can't knock down a shot, and you need to go to the gym and you need to knock down shots. You got to get the shots down, memory lane, tempo, muscle memory, the release, the jump, everything about it. You got to work on it more. If you can't knock down shots, you're just not working hard enough to knock down shots. So he lost to his rival by 10. He was like 0-for from the field and had a lousy game. And then, you know, he was mad about his performance, but I don't think he was mad about them losing, to be honest with you. So it was loser night at the Pharrella Palatial. Nothing but losses all around. Then again, a wise man once said, if Pharrell can go 7-1 in NBA bets, I can still sleep at night. And I'm riding the Kings right now, the crappy Sacramento Kings. And I love Sacramento, by the way. I was on 1140 forever in Sactown. What up, Sactown? It's your boy Pharrell. I've done remotes there and everything else. They're up 1 on the Lakers early in the second. You know they'll lose this game. This is a question of covering 7.5. It's 6.5 for everybody else, 7.5 for me. I got it at 7.5 when the day opened up. Later, we'll talk to Coach Young about tonight's games, league stuff, and tomorrow's games, previewing Wednesday's action in the NBA. When we come back, I'll take a look briefly at some of the big college games tonight in around the country and some of the big matchups. I got all that going for you. It's Pharrell on the Bench.
You're listening to Sports Grid, the home of the winning edge, carrying on the fine tradition of sports gaming from all the way back to ancient Rome. But they never had a mobile app.
So count your blessings, Sporto.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench with Scott Pharrell.
Pharrell on the Bench. I just wanted to mention, where's the money at? I'll tell you where it's at. PharrellOnTheBench.com. That's where the money players go because they know I'm going to make them money. Fat stacks. Mafia knows it's true. He'll back me up on this. Every pick, every play, every day. The best deal ever for people that like action. I give you every single pick every day, always. It's been going on for 15 years, and all we do is make people money. Remember, hide the money from your wife because she's going to go straight to Gucci or Fendi and spend all of it. Free People, something like that. She's going to do you. She's going to take your money, and she's going to roll. She might even have a boyfriend on the side. Go sign up. Be a member. Try it. You'll like it. Because if you would have been with me tonight, you would have hit this. LSU to win, laying the 1. Boom, done deal. Wake winning, laying the 1.5. Boom, double deal. That's 4-0. A&M winning, they didn't cover. That's 5-1. Duke's going to win, they're not going to cover. That's 6-2. Auburn wins, they don't cover. 7-3. I hit Baylor to win, Oklahoma to cover. 9-3. Texas wins, doesn't cover the K-State. You get the gist of it. NC State ahead, covering Toledo both ways, Rutgers both ways, Minnesota failed both ways, Seton Hall won both ways. I hit Vandy plus 7 against Arkansas, Kansas both ways, lost Providence both ways, Colorado State to win, Air Force plus 20 in a hook. All of those bets hit tonight in college basketball. Going on right now, because Tulsa's going to cover. They're down 7. They're getting 13.5 with 2 minutes left. They may not cover. You never know. They're close. They're down 7. They're getting 13.5 at Memphis. And Duke's going to win, but they're up 12 right now, laying 17.5 with a minute left. I don't see them covering, but I could be wrong. Duke's up 69-57 with a minute left. Memphis up 65-58 on Tulsa with a minute 55 left. LSU beat Kentucky 65-60. Wake Forest 76-54 blowout of Florida State. A&M struggled in Athens but won 81-79. Virginia, by the way, I covered that spread as well, getting 4. They covered. They beat Clemson on the road 75-65. Big win there. Auburn blew out South Carolina 81-66. I told you Baylor's win was 10, 84-74 over Oklahoma at Waco. Texas took on a shorthanded Kansas State team and whooped their ass 70-57. I'm only giving you scores of teams that I had action on. Toledo laying 12, 82-54 all over Central Michigan. They're 2-11. They suck. Rutgers beat Michigan in the rack 75-67. Illinois blew out Minnesota 76-53. I'm completely surprised about that. Minnesota, a decent team. They got their ass beat at home tonight. Not a good sign. I was on Seton Hall laying 3 at Butler and Indy. 71-56. Seton Hall blew their ass out. And then I hit Vanderbilt. They won 75-74 over Arkansas. On the road. On the road in Fayetteville, they did that. Kansas won at Oklahoma State 74-63. Land 6.5. Double cover there. I got burned on Providence. Marquette upset them. That's a flat-out upset, 88-56. They kicked their ass. And then I gave you Colorado State to win, but I had Air Force plus 20 in a hook, and they lost by 8. So what didn't I do for you tonight in college basketball? What does Brown do for you? Tulsa now down 4 with 20 seconds left. They're going to cover. I'm going to hit Memphis on the money line, and I'm going to hit Tulsa on the spread. How do you like them apples, Mafia? What don't I hit? The Duke line ended up 12. They were laying 17.5. I don't know what it is. I really don't. Over the years, when I bet with Duke or against Duke, I always lose. Every time I try to bet them to cover, they don't cover. And then when I bet them to somebody to spread cover against them, I lose that too. I got to stay away from Duke. I mean, they're my worst nightmare. Plus, I told you I grew up listening to my dad shove Duke down my throat. He went to Duke, and he never shut up about him, and I got sick and tired of it. I hated Duke. I always hated him. I got just so sick and tired of hearing about Duke. And then they're on every game on national television, la-di-da. And then, go figure, my dad passes, and I'm still being haunted by Duke. Every time I bet, I lose money. Every time I bet with Duke, I lose money. I'm just done betting with Duke. If there's a Duke game now, Mafia, remind me, stay away from it.
Yeah, I mean, all the trash talking you did about him for years. That's why. You know, your dad raised you on him. You hated it. So how many – since I've been with you, every year, you know, we was always ragged on Duke and how Coach K gets all his love and they never really get it done for the most part. But they always have great seasons and fall short except a couple times. And you just hated them. And all the hating you've done, it's come back to haunt you in the betting. All your, you know, the things we did about your dad and, oh, the Duke Blue Devils, they're so amazing. And you're like, you hated them. It cost you.
I'm 23-10 tonight in college basketball bets. How do you like that? Not bad. 23-10. Mavi, do you think fans should get on ForellOnTheBench.com? I mean, what do you think? And you never hear me pushing it. For the last couple of years on Sports Grid, a lot of people watch Coast to Coast, and they know I do a ton of picks on there every day. You can just watch the show and get all my picks. And then, you know, on the show at night, it's too late. I get on too late to talk about, you know, who to bet on because the games are all in motion. So I just don't really talk about it a lot. But I think that sucks because I think it's a great thing for fans. As you know, for 15 years, you've been running it with me, and you know what it's done for fans since my days at the very beginning with Howard Stern when I started it in 2006 to where it is today. Can you think about how much money we've made people? I mean, honestly, for the price that it is, what we've done for people. I mean, it's like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, I mean, we've had people time and time again talk about how awesome you've done for them, the money you've made, the paying the mortgage, paying the, you know, the alimony, whatever it is they want to use it for. Honestly, it makes me mad that we haven't made more money off it ourselves using those picks. I mean, we got to start spreading that around ourselves. Keep it in. Keep it in-house. Why do we always got to let everyone else win?
Yeah. Why don't we just screw everybody else and keep all the money ourselves? I mean, honestly, I'm starting to think maybe that's what we should do. I really, you know, maybe we should just start screwing people over. You never know. It might be a good idea. I got to check back on this hockey game before we talk completely about. And the Avalanche win it in overtime for Uncle Futrelli. Shake head. How about Maker, your boy, make me a Maker. The Salt Shaker, 4-3, they win it from Landeskog and McKinnon, 2:38 into overtime, and they were down 3-2. They came back, Johnson goal, McCarr, they win it. And now, I'm looking at, right now I'm 4-1. I got San Jose wrong. What I need is, I need the Jets. They're up 2-1 in the third with 4:20 left. Hey now. And then, the Predators are up 2-0 on Vegas now in the middle of the second. And in the second, the Ducks are still up 2-1 on the Flyers. I want to have a 7-1 night in the NHL. Now I'm disappointed in the Vegas Golden Knights. Did I not just talk to Dan Rosenmafi about do the Vegas Golden Knights score enough goals to win the Stanley Cup? And he's like, they're very physical. They're very big. I don't know about their goaltending. Once again tonight, at home, down 2-0, they can't score a goal in the middle of the second period.
Right. They're a team that always, you know, is up there on the top of everybody's list as the best teams in the NHL, and they just haven't gotten it done. We'll have to see if they can finally take that next step. But gotten close, no cigar. We'll have to see. It's not the best team compared to what they've had previous years, for sure.
I mean, how, you're down 2-0 to the Predators at home. I know the Predators are decent, whatever. We'll come back and talk to Coach Young on a bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
Coach James Young was on Coast to Coast with us today, and he's on the bench tonight. He was on Sports Grid TV last hour, getting into the NBA. I'm 7-1 in the NBA tonight in my bets. And Coach and I were on kind of the same wavelength today with all the games tonight. And betting-wise, we are eerily similar in our tastes of NBA teams to bet on a nightly, weekly, monthly basis. And again, tonight, same thing. We both were watching the Knicks game with the Pacers and keeping an eye on the Grizzlies game with the Cavs at the same time tonight. And I reached out to him. I said, come on the bench tonight. Let's go through it again, and then we'll get people set up for Wednesday. So, Coach, let's start with Ja Morant. Tonight he was sickening. And, I mean, it just is unbelievable what this guy's doing. You know, I said to you today, I took him at the beginning of the year before they even threw the ball up for the MVP. Everybody laughed at me. I think Slim Reaper and Steph are ahead of him. I don't think anybody else is ahead of him. Tonight what he did was surreal. Again, after playing last night and kicking the Nets ass, he went 26, 5, and 6. I know he had two steals, two blocks, and I think was something like 8 of 9 from the line. I mean, this guy is an absolute showman, and you and I were both right. We took the Grizzlies outright, getting 3 to win the game in Cleveland against a really good Cavs team.
Yeah, I mean, John, he's just built different, man. The way he just came out, you got to look at it. There were two key sequences in that game. First one, they get an alley-oop to Jared Allen. It's 55-44 second quarter. The game can get away from Memphis at that point. What do? 13-0 run to end the half. Ja leads the way. Then you're looking at 104-104, 1:38 left. I need Ja to get to 25 points. He's sitting at 18. He gives you 8 points in a minute 36, including at 104 score, and then knock down 4 free throws to ice the game. I'm telling you, I think you're right. I think he's in the top 3 in NBA MVP voting. And right now, FanDuel has him. I think he's at like 5,500 is where he's at. He is like the 10th favorite. And to me, with Curry being at 125 and KD being at 240, there's no value here. And plus, Clay, I think, could, if he plays well, can take away some of Curry's votes. Same thing with Kyrie and Durant. Who's taking away Ja Morant's votes? To me, it's Ja Morant you got to look at, and you got to look at DeMar DeRozan as legitimate MVP candidates that long odds that will give him a nice payout.
There's no doubt. I thought the key to the game was that steal and kiss with the left hand. Going down the other side, going reverse and putting it up with the other hand. I thought that was beautiful. And I'm with you. That was at 104-104 right there, and it made it 106-104. They win at 110-106. So he's crazy. How about how they play the back-and-back? You play in Brooklyn against, you know, clearly one of the best teams in the league. Not right now. They've lost 3 in a row. They don't look good right now. They'll look a lot better tomorrow night, I guarantee you, with Kyrie Irving, even if it's 20, 25 mm-hmm. minutes against that crappy Pacer team. I cannot believe that the Pacers, I mean, the Knicks couldn't shut them like a dog tonight. It was unbelievable how they stuck around. I mean, there was like, whatever, all the way till there was about 3 minutes left in the game, they were in that game. I mean, it was like a 2 or 3 point game the entire game, belly to belly. At halftime, it was tied. 3 minutes left in the game, it was like a 2-point game. And then they finally peeled the skin back and beat them by 10. But I got to tell you, at some level, Coach, that game was ugly.
Oh, it was, you know, if you had a choice between watching the Knick game or watching a Grizzly game, and we're both Knick guys, I watched more of the Grizzly game than the Knicks because it was flat out terrible. But, you know, it's one of those things where the Knicks is for them, the key tonight was R.J. Barrett. He has been dreadful lately. He got off to a hot start. There's something with two things. There's something with R.J. against Indiana where he plays pretty well against them. But here's the other thing, and I watched it, and I've watched it closely the last few years. Randle and Sabonis cannot stand each other. And it doesn't matter how bad Julius Randle's been playing. When he goes against Sabonis, he goes at him. And he was big tonight because it's really just those two that really played well. They got minutes from other guys. But, you know, if you're a Knicks fan, you got to be concerned with what's going on. Fournier gave you absolutely was hot garbage tonight. You know, so they got some stuff out of Robinson. But until they get a third score and it's got to be Fournier, the Knicks are going to be in trouble until they get D. Rose back.
I got to tell you, I spotted the same thing, but it's been going on for a while. And I think it's because Randle is, you know, for my money, Sabonis is a rugged player. He's a very physical, rugged, big 6'11 guy that does not mess around. He will bang. He will run into you. He will go to the 10. He is not afraid to body up. And I don't think Randle likes it when people body up with him and that go rugged with him and that lock him up, put hands on him, put shoulders on him. He doesn't like to be banged. He likes to get calls is what he likes. He likes to get foul calls. He's always talking to the ref like, why am I not getting this call? And I don't think he likes guys that get rugged with him. And I think that's what Sabonis does. But for my money, Sabonis tonight was bunk because he never shot the rock. I mean, he only took, I think, 9 shots in the game. That's just unacceptable. But I have to tell you that I thought that Kiefer Sykes kid played his onions off. I remember watching that kid play at Green Bay when he was in college, dropping 20 a game, and he was this little point guard, and everybody was making fun of him. And then he played all over the world. I thought they did a good job tonight, the crew, with, you know, Clyde Frazier, in my opinion, was making fun of him, too, his size, a little bit too much. For a guy that, you know, dropped 20 points tonight, had 2 rebounds, 5 dimes, I thought the guy played his sack off. And I remember watching him play in college, Coach. And I have to tell you, I was really proud of the guy for what he's done. He's gone all over the world to every country on the face of the earth, to the Far East, to Down Under. He's played everywhere and then ends up in Fort Wayne in the G, gets called up and throws a game like that up tonight where, in my view, what he did, hitting, you know, 4 big threes, having 22, 4, and 6, I thought he was fantastic. What do you think of a guy that pays his dues like that and that goes anywhere to ball and plays for any amount of money to ball and then finally gets to the NBA and has a game like that tonight? I think that's what it's all about.
I think so, too. And you got to respect guys that don't give up on their dream and do whatever they can to get to the league. And let's be honest, I mean, you know, with a team with guys like, you know, Domantas Sabonis and Miles Turner, who you want to talk about Sabonis being hot garbage. How about the nice big stat line of Miles Turner of 5 points and 7 rebounds? That's hot bunk what he gave tonight. You got to look at the fact that this kid, Sykes, and even the kid Washington, they were your 2 leading scorers tonight. So that tells you how well they played, how hungry they were, but it also tells you of how bad Sabonis was, how bad Holiday was, how bad Turner was. I mean, you got something out of Torrey Craig with 15 points, but, you know, if you're Indiana and you're down Caris LeVert and you're down Malcolm Brogdon, you need your stars to show up in Sabonis and Turner, and they did not, and it's no wonder why they need to blow that whole organization up in flames, because they're just hot garbage. I thought they were going to be better with Carlisle. It's obvious that they are not, so they got to start getting rid of some of those guys.
Well, I can't blame Carlisle with the garbage landfill they're putting out on the floor. I mean, it's like stench, that team. They have no talent. But, like, it's amazing to be watching, like, Dwayne Washington, because when he played at Ohio State, you remember him? That guy was a stud in Columbus and in the Big Ten. He was unstoppable. The guy scored at 25 every night. I thought he was a great player in college. And now, like, he had 17 tonight. I thought that was impressive. But he does not look like he matters at all in the NBA. Like, at Ohio State, he stood out like a sore thumb because he was so much better than everyone on the floor. But in the NBA, he looks like a guy that lost his puppy. Isn't it crazy the level of being a star player in the Big Ten and then going to the NBA and you look like you just had your first shave?
Well, look at him. I mean, he's only 6'3". He's not overly – I mean, he shoots the ball pretty well, but he's not overly quick. He doesn't have a great handle. So when you get to the league, you're playing against the best of the best. So, you know, he needs people to help create for him. That's why, you know, playing with Sykes tonight really helped – him out and getting him shots. But, you know, he's got to go ahead and shoot better than he did. You know, I think he was 1-for-7 from 3 tonight. So, you know, yeah, I mean, you're curious to see what's going to happen with this organization. You know, forget the crossroads. They're way past that crossroads. So let's see how they try and adjust here. But,
so Coach, you know,
yeah, I think he's going to be a fringe NBA player.
All right, hold on a second. Don't go anywhere. We got another segment to go with you, and I want to talk about the Suns game and talk about this Laker game tonight and set everybody up for Wednesday and the action that's going to go down tomorrow. There's tons of games tomorrow. It's Pharrell on a bench.
It's a jungle out there.
So many possibilities, prospects, and probabilities. It's easy to become overwhelmed.
That's where we come in.
Relax. We're your trusted source for expert information on sports gaming strategies and information. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
It really is a sickening night. 23-10 in my college basketball bets. I'm sitting on 5-1 in the NHL right now with two left. One of them, the Ducks are up 3-1 on the Flyers. In the second, we'll see if they can get it done. That would be 6-1. The Predators are up on the Knights, though. I took the Knights, so I might end up 6-2 in the NHL. I'm 7-1 in the NBA. I got the Lakers to win, but the Kings in 7.5. It moved to 6.5. And that game right now at the half, somehow the Kings got back in the game. They were down, and they came. First they were up, then they were down, then they got back to 59-57 at the half. And they're winning at crypto.com, which is the old, obviously, Staples. Fox, Darren Fox has 19, and Buddy Hield has 15 for the Kings. King James has 13. THT has 13. Dwight Howard has 12. For the Lakers. The Lakers are 500. The Kings are six games under 500. Per usual, they suck, but they still got some players I like watching play. Are the Lakers ever going to figure it out, Coach Young, with their problems and this, you know, old veteran laden team that they got? Are they ever going to figure it out? Because, like, the Lakers and Clippers to me are what? Basically 7-8 right now?
Yeah, I mean, they're basically the eight seed. I mean, they're a half game, I think, out of fifth. So that, it's kind of jumbled up once you get past Memphis at four. But, I mean, tonight, I mean, you're talking about, you know, Malik Monk, who I love today, and I still think he can get to his prop of 15-plus in Lakers win. He's 2-for-8. Avery Bradley, 1-for-4. Russell Westbrook, 4-for-13. He's just chucking and ducking. But they're just not playing well, you know, and the Kings are shooting 51% from the floor. They're letting De'Aaron Fox do whatever the hell they want, because who could play defense on the Lakers, because they're all about 95 years old. And then you're letting Buddy Hield get loose for three, for 4-3. So it's going to be a game of runs. You just got to hope that the Lakers kind of settle down a little bit. But, you know, they went back to LeBron at center. So let's see if they can try and take advantage of it, because late in the first half, that's when Sacramento made their run with him at the center, so I don't know if they're going to adjust and go back with Dwight Howard, who gave him really good minutes in the first half.
I mean, Dwight Howard was playing really well. He was like 4 of 7 from the floor. He had, whatever, 12 points, and he had, you know, some boards. I thought he was playing well. I don't know what the hell they're doing putting LeBron there, to be honest with you. I have to tell you, and this I notice every night for a long time now, in my opinion. And people don't like hearing it. I don't care. I mean, that guy, and I respect his game like you have no idea. Like, I've always believed that LeBron is the complete player at both ends of the floor. His size, his weight, his skill, his defense, his offense, his leadership, his ability to inside, outside, dunk, everything else, everything that he does, swatting shots, you name it, playing for championships, winning them, losing them, whatever, that he's one of the most incredible players, if not the most incredible player that probably ever played the game when it's all said and done. But I have to tell you, man, later in his career here in L.A., I mean, this guy is like, he's like a cheap bottle of wino. All he does is whine to the refs. I mean, all night, every night, that's all he does is cry to the refs. I mean, it is just so obvious to me now. He's just looking for junk mail from refs. Like, bro, he doesn't need the refs to dominate anything to this day. He can do whatever he wants in any game. Why is he crying so much? He cries about everything.
I think when I was in college, we used to drink that, what's that wine called, Boone's? Like that $3 bottle of wine? Like, that's what he complains like. And it's like, the next time LeBron does not complain about a call will be the first time he doesn't complain. So he's always complaining and trying to get every call. He just hit Harrison Barnes in the face, almost knocked him out. You know, Harrison Barnes is lying on the floor in the first half, and LeBron's looking at the ref like, I didn't touch him. So, you know, LeBron will cry and complain. He cries and complains a lot. You talked about it before. Julius Randle, he's another one that complains to the officials. Like, at some point, you know what, just do me a favor. We know how great you are. Just, I think it hurts your greatness sometimes. Just step up and play and not whine so much.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm bored with it. I can't stand it. How about the Suns? Booker had 33 tonight, three threes. Bridges had 5 threes. Cam Johnson had 5 threes. Johnson had 18. Bridges had 23. Biombo off the bench was 16. It was a 103-101 game at one point against the Pelicans in New Orleans, and I thought my land 7 was in jeopardy. At the beginning of the day, I thought that was the easiest play I'd ever seen, was the Suns laying 7 to the crappy Pelicans. They ended up beating them by 13, 123-110. It was close, though. They were in trouble of not covering, but they did cover, thank God. What do you think of that team as they continue to just absolutely rake at 29-8?
What in the Bismarck Biombo went on tonight? I mean, Bismarck Biombo rolling on that high pick and roll looked like Amari Stoudemire tonight when he's just going 6-for-6, 16 points, 6 rebounds. They got this kid Smith. Played 16 minutes, gave him 12 points, 5 rebounds. You know, it's amazing. You know, when you look at the NBA, and you're an NBA guy, and you understand basketball, people have to understand styles make fights. And the way that New Orleans plays that high ball screen coverage, they're going to drop Valanciunas and Jackson Hayes into the lane, which means Chris Paul comes off of it with his sight lines clear and everything around them. So he can hit the roll. He can get to his sweet spot, which you know is at that right elbow area, right corner area, like the right side of the floor. Or he could spray it out to shooters. So to me, I thought it was an easy bet. They didn't make it interesting, but the Suns put him away late. But I thought it was an easy bet. I took Chris Paul double-double, and the Suns to win it, plus 235. And I thought it was – I was more concerned about the points and assists because I figured he was going to find shooters, and that's what he did tonight.
He had 15 dimes. You and I were talking about him today. No one can stop him from doing whatever he wants, running the show in the Valley. And they did it tonight in New Orleans on Bourbon Street. It don't matter where he plays. CP3 is going to do his thing. Let's talk a little bit about a thick Wednesday schedule. Now, I don't have really any lines at this point. I start working on those jimmies in the morning, first thing, 7:30. I'm up at 6:45 working spreads till I leave at 7:30. That's when I basically look for the juiciest lines. Heat and Blazers at the Moda. I think the Blazers are awful. I couldn't even believe they won that game against the Hawks with the night that Young had. But I think the Heat can go in there and beat them. I think the Heat are better. You and I talked about Spoelstra today. What do you think in that game right there, Miami at Portland?
I think that they're going to be in a bad mood, Miami, after losing that game. Right now, I mean, I know it's early. They have the Heat getting a point, which I'm kind of stunned by. You know, maybe they're expecting some of these guys to come back. But, you know, just looking at it right off the bat, I mean, you know, I don't know how they can defend them. I think, you know, Spoelstra will have them in pretty fired up and ready to go. And, you know, I think that that's a game that they should go into. You got to remember, we talked about it earlier, they went into Golden State on a back-to-back and almost beat them. And they were in the game the entire game. So I'm still shocked right now. I'm sure this line will probably move. But if Portland is giving a point to Miami, I'm taking Miami all day long with the point. Or, it's less juice. I'll just money line and take them to win because I don't see how Portland is going to beat a well-coached Miami Heat team without Chauncey Billups, where I think he may still be in COVID protocol unless he's out by now.
All right, so the Hornets, is it 9.5 to land to the Pistons in Charlotte? I like this Hornets team. The Pistons, they hit for me against the Bucks. I covered that game. But that was, that was then, this is now. Do they cover the 9.5 against the Hornets?
I think they do. You know, I think it is a big number. If you know, if you get a little concerned, maybe you go with a player performance double and see where you have. They're going to get open shots. They should be able to knock down open shots. You know, looking at some of the prop market early on, you know, Terry Rozier right now is you know, over 2.5 threes is at minus 38. You could turn around and take him on a player performance double to make three threes in Charlotte to win at plus 120. That's already something I'm eyeing up right now. So I think the thing about this with Charlotte is this. They can score. The problem with them is, can they get stops? The problem with Detroit is, I don't think they can score enough to hang with Charlotte. So I think Charlotte at home should take them out, and I think it should cover the spread, even though it's 9.5. I think they can do it.
All right, so I got a bunch of games here. Let's fly through these. Sixers in Orlando, Wizards home to the Rockets.
I'm going to go with Philadelphia on the road, although it could be tricky with Orlando. And God dang, I mean, Houston is terrible. I mean, they're off. They got guys leaving at halftime, fighting with coaches. Give me the Wizards minus the points tomorrow.
Yeah, I like that as well. I like both those Celtics and Spurs in Boston. And what do you think of the Nets with Kyrie in Indy against that crappy Pacer team we watched tonight?
I don't know if Kyrie goes off, but I think the Nets put on a show. They should be in a bad mood after losing to the Clippers at home, blowing a 12-point lead over the weekend and then getting thunder punched last night by Memphis. You got Indiana on a back-to-back, and their starters played big minutes. I expect the Nets to blow them out. I think that's a double-digit win in Indiana. And as for Boston, San Antonio, they both suck, so I don't even know what to think about that game.
Warriors, Mavericks in Dallas, Dirk's jersey retirement party, and a Raptors, Bucks in Milwaukee.
Well, it's nice that they're retiring his jersey. I think Golden State takes them on the road. And then the Bucks and the Raptors are on a back-to-back. They had a big win tonight over San Antonio, who, like I said, isn't good. So give me Milwaukee with Toronto on a back-to-back and having to travel to them. Give me the Bucks laying the points.
Yeah, I'm with you. T-Wolves and Thunder and Mini, Jazz Nuggets in Denver, and the Hawks, Kings in Sacramento. I actually, after what happens to them tonight in L.A., I think they're in that game. It's 61-59 Kings. I think the Hawks can beat them in Sacramento, but I still bet on the Kings to beat the Hawks the way the Hawks lose every night now.
Listen, after Trey drops, like, what, a 50-burger and, like, 15 assists, I would sure damn hope that they're going to turn around and win tomorrow in Sacramento off a back-to-back, and it's going to be a high-scoring game with the Lakers. Minnesota, OKC, if there's no SGA, give me Minnesota all day long. And the matchup between there's one more matchup you should ask me about.
Jazz
let's
Nuggets.
See what happens.
Jazz Nuggets.
Jazz Nuggets. That's going to be that's going to be a good one. I think it's a must-win for the Nuggets. I think Joker and is going to give Gobert problems, bring him to the outside. I think I'm going to go with the upside. I'm going to go with the Denver Nuggets.
I think the Jazz can still beat them, and the Nuggets cover the number because they're probably going to be getting points. Coach, great stuff today on Coast to Coast and tonight on the bench. I love you. I'll check you out soon, brother.
Sounds good. Thanks, man.
All right, Coach James Young's with us on the bench regularly. Check him out on Sports Grid as well.
Scott, my buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
And LeBron just choked on a 3-on-1 breakaway with just numbers, and he threw the ball out of bounds. He had Monk on his left on the wing, and he bounced past the ball out of bounds into the crowd. It's embarrassing. Lakers up 71-70 with 7 left in the third. They'll find a way to win this game. The thing I'm interested in about in this game is the Kings. Can they cover the 7.5 for me? Secondly, De'Aaron Fox with 24 points at this point, and he is just going off, exploding past the old, weary-legged Lakers. I mean, there isn't a guy on that team that can guard him. I mean, the guy's so fast. He's embarrassing the Lakers tonight with his speed. He's phenomenal. Having a huge night, 7-1 in the NBA so far. Have the Lakers to win, Kings to cover. I'm still waiting on these hockey games that won't end in the West. The Ducks up 3-1 on the Flyers going to the third. Predators up 2-0 on the Kings, or on the Knights in Vegas going to the third. I got the Ducks. I got the Knights. I'm already 5-1 in the NHL, 7-1 in the NBA, 23-10 in college basketball. All I do is make people money, baby. That's all I do. I'm chilling the most over here making you fat stacks. Bands will make her dance. Bands will make her dance. Bands will make her dance. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern on Sports Grid TV on Coast to Coast. For Mafia, I'm Pharrell. Good night, everybody.